Welcome to Flying Higher with host Gina Jones, author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. Each Sunday, Gina highlights the efforts of conscious people that are empowering individuals with the universal knowledge and the spiritual tools to fly toward their highest potential. Now, here's Gina.
Hello and welcome to Flying Higher, a weekly internet radio show hosted by Gina E. Jones, founder of Seeing the Light Productions and author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. This is Karen Stone, and tonight I'm sitting in for Gina while she takes the night off, and we hope she's having a good one. Each week on Flying Higher, Gina and her special guests share with listeners various ways to lighten up and raise their vibration and their consciousness, so that they may be of service to others as we speed toward the divine cosmic plan for the Earth in the year 2012. In addition to being the host of Flying Higher, Gina is also the author of the thought-provoking and inspiring book, Flying Between Heaven and Earth, which is now available on Amazon. For more information about Gina's book, please go to www.flyingbetweenheavenandearth.com. And as I said a moment ago, this is Karen Stone. I'm filling in for Gina tonight, and I feel very blessed tonight because we have two very special guests. Tonight we have Colin Tipping with us. Some of you out there may know him as the Radical Forgiveness Guy. And we also have Joanne Tipping, who some of you may know as the Radical Forgiveness Gal. So for those of you who are meeting Colin for the first time, Colin leads workshops all over the U.S. and internationally, and his workshops are renowned as life-changing experiences. He moved to the U.S. from England in 1984, and while living in England, he taught at London University. Colin's teachings are based on principles he has written about in four books, the first of which was Radical Forgiveness. He followed that with a novel called Radical Incarnation. And his two most recent works are Radical Manifestation and Spiritual Intelligence at Work. Well, Colin, welcome to Flying Higher.
Well, thank you for having me. It's good to be here with you.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted. And Joanne,
hi,
welcome
there.
Also. How are you?
Thank you. Doing great.
Oh, so glad to have you both with us. And before
well, we are a team.
We are a team.
We work together a lot, and we do our workshops together, so we're very much a team here.
Well, that is great. Before we dig into tonight's topic, I would like to invite our listeners to join us by calling in. If you have a question for Colin or Joanne, please call the following toll-free numbers. In the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. And in Canada, that toll-free number is 888-810-8322. And we would love to hear from you, and we appreciate your calls. Well, Colin, as I was having the opportunity to spend a little bit of time on your website today, I had a thought that I haven't had the opportunity to ask you before is, how did the radical forgiveness idea come to you?
Well, it came slowly, like osmosis, really. When I came over from England in 1984, I really had no background in any of this or in any religious training or anything of that nature. But at the time, things were getting a little hot down here in Atlanta as far as the sort of new thought community. So I sort of got involved with some people and went to Unity and that kind of thing. But I would say that the person who most influenced me early on was a guy called Arnold Patent, who you may have heard of.
Yeah.
He had a way of expressing or explaining principle or universal principle in a way that I could understand it, a kind of a left brain, rational way. And so that was really my introduction. But really what got us going was a little later on when Joanne and I started to do cancer workshops up in the North Georgia Mountains for people who had or had had cancer, and found out that they, in fact, many people who are cancer patients have had issues with forgiveness. And it seems to be a common trait amongst them that they have a hard time forgiving. So the research bore that out when we started to look at it. And so we felt that if we could help them forgive or at least come to terms with some of the emotional traumas or losses that they had suffered earlier on in their life, that we could make a difference, and found that to be so. So what we needed, of course, was a way of forgiving that was much simpler and easier than traditional forgiveness, which historically has been shown to take forever to do because it's so difficult. So we had to find an easy way, and something that we could get done in a day or two for these folks, because they were going to be there for about 5 days. So we developed what has now become radical forgiveness out of that experience.
So it really began as a quicker way to help people who were dealing with some kind of an illness, and in this particular case it was cancer.
Yes.
And you started seeing results, obviously, as you experimented with different ways of helping them with the forgiving process.
Yes, we saw some good results, which really surprised us, because we didn't know that we were going to get that kind of response to the what you might call a therapy, I guess. We call it radical forgiveness therapy, even though it's not a psychological way of doing forgiveness. It's more of an energetic, spiritual way of doing it. But nevertheless, it's therapeutic. And we had some, we made a difference, I think, to a lot of people's lives. But once we had, once we discovered this form of forgiveness and started to really hone it, we branched out. And then, of course, I wrote the book in 1997 and started doing workshops for people all over the country and now all over the world on helping them forgive any sort of an issue that they have running in their lives, even ones that crop up on a daily basis. So in that sense, we think of ourselves not only of helping people to put their lives in order, but also to prevent things like cancer from occurring. Because if we can release the energy that's tied up in some of these stories that that would, if left untended, would tend to come out as cancer in the long run, then we're making a difference to their health. So it's a healthy thing to do, and there's all sorts of other benefits as well, as far as getting more energy and having better relationships and that kind of thing, but health is a big one.
Well, I've had the opportunity to work with a form that now I understand that you developed over time. And
yeah.
It's actually the Radical Forgiveness Worksheet. And as I said, I have had the opportunity to work with it before.
Yeah.
And it's a very interesting take on looking at a situation and then coming up with the reasons that the situation is operative. Is that a good word, in your life?
Yes. I mean, the basic assumption of radical forgiveness is that there is nothing happening by accident, and that everything that occurs to us is actually happening for us, in the sense that it's part of our soul's journey to have experiences such as we are having, and that we have actually created them for that purpose. And so in that sense, that there is nothing wrong occurring, and there is no reason to forgive, or there's nothing to forgive. So that's what makes it such a radical idea, because it's a very difficult idea for people to grasp, because there are so many things that we immediately think of as being unforgivable.
I'm sitting here taking a deep breath on the line that you said, there really is nothing to forgive.
Yes, there's nothing to forgive.
Because that's a different approach,
very.
Especially in the evolution that we've had during the last 30 years, where we went
yes.
through a period when there was a lot of victim stance and all of that, and then taking responsibility,
yes.
and now this seems to be even a further step along that continuum.
Yeah.
There was nothing to forgive in the first place.
Exactly. And the good thing about it is that we don't really have to understand it or even believe it. Our willingness to just be open to that possibility seems to be all that's required. And that's what the worksheet does, is helps us come to a place of realization that might be true. Or it's a way of expressing to ourselves that, okay, I'm open to thinking that may be the truth, even though I don't understand it. And so that's the purpose of using tools like the Radical Forgiveness Worksheet. And with Joanne's work, she does it with a lot of with artwork with mm-hmm. people. If when they do a series of mandalas, for instance, that seems to combined with the worksheet, that seems to have an immediate effect on people.
Well, how does emotion or emotionally experiencing what it is or the event or the thought that's having the impact on you, where does that fit into your process?
Karen, you're breaking up. It was hard to hear you. Can you say that again?
Yeah, there's some interference there.
Okay, I apologize for that. I was asking, where does emotion fit into the process with regard to a radical forgiveness experience?
I think Karen, you've got some technical problems there because you're just bubbling. We can't hear anything. It's
okay.
Not making any sense at all. It's like you're on a cell phone that's breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Well, it's all broken. The signal seems to be breaking up.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. If you can hear me at all, if you could just spend a moment talking about a little bit more about the Radical Forgiveness Worksheet, I'll try to solve the technical problems on that.
All right. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll explain what that worksheet does. And in fact, what all the tools of Radical Forgiveness do. I've already said that the only thing that's necessary for us when we're doing this work is to be open to the possibility that everything does, in fact, happen for a reason. And so what the worksheet takes us through five distinct stages. And each one of those stages, when Joanne does it with artwork, the people will do a picture with each of these faces. But they are, the first one is to actually tell the story of what happened. And so, Joanne, you'd get you'd get someone to draw a picture of their story, right?
Right, exactly, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then the second one is to actually feel the feelings. And again, with the drawings, it enables people to sort of get out of their mind and to get in touch with their feelings at a more basic level through the artwork. So that's where a lot of value in that comes in. But it, even just doing the worksheet does the same thing. And then step number three actually is to begin to collapse the story. And what we mean by that is that we start to take some of the energy that we've got invested in the story and let that sort of dissipate and get reduced, because it's the energy that holds the story together. It's difficult to explain how that actually works, but it's part of the worksheet seems to be that it diffuses the energy that's held the story in place over the years.
And what's nice is that a shift happens, and it's a feeling. You can almost feel it happen
mm-hmm.
when you get to the end of the worksheet.
Yeah. And then the step number four is to actually do what we call a reframe of the story, which is to see it differently and to write it as if we really do understand that this whatever has just happened is purposeful and happened for a reason, and therefore is part of our soul's journey, and therefore it's purposeful in that sense. And then step number five is to integrate it in some way, and once again, Joanne's artwork is a wonderful way to integrate it, as well as breath work. right, Joanne? I mean, we do
yes.
have breath work at all our workshops, which is a way to get it integrated into the body. Are you back, Karen?
I hope so. Can you hear
yes,
me?
You are.
Sounds so
yes.
much
okay.
better.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Hopefully we've solved that technical issue, and I appreciate that explanation of the form.
Yeah.
I did have a question that about one of the things that I read in the book that has to do with the form. And part of what you suggest is that you go into a radical forgiveness process without expectations.
Yeah.
And just sort of see what happens. And what came up for me is that how does that sort of line up with creative thought, where you focus on what you want, and how do you contrast or work that in with actually not having expectations?
Well, see, it's not so much about not having expectations. It's the willingness to accept that something is purposeful here without knowing the reason why. That's the key here. because, you know, put in more religious terms, we don't know the mind of God.
Right.
We don't know the spiritual big picture. So there's no way that we can really understand what that purpose is, because it's all happening at the soul level, not at the ego level. And so so it's all part of the plan that we don't know what's going on, really, because if we did, then the whole game would be up and we wouldn't be playing the game that we're playing, right?
Right, we'd know the answer.
We'd know the answer. So we say, no, I think I'll pass on that divorce thing. Okay, give me something else.
I already got that one answered, so let's go on to something else.
Yeah, give me something that doesn't hurt too much. But
exactly.
So it's the willingness to just do the worksheet, as ridiculous as it sounds, because I often say, you know, a stupid worksheet, it is stupid to the rational mind, because the rational mind really can't make a whole lot of sense out of it. But something happens inside when you do it. Something happens of an energetic nature, which I don't understand. I don't pretend to understand how this stuff works. All I know is that after doing it for 10 years, weekend in, weekend out, that we know that it works. And so,
well, when you get the results,
working,
right? When
results.
You get the results, then
yeah.
you assume that what you're doing to lead to those results
yeah.
is.
I mean, we've had people come to the workshops that have, you know, had sons or daughters murdered, and they're in a terrible state of mind about it, and end up at the end of the weekend feeling quite peaceful about it, and they don't really understand why they do feel like that. But when we check up months later, we find that they still feel good about it. That there is a sense of in which that they have come to a peaceful place about it, knowing that there was a spiritual purpose for whatever took place, and that it can be seen in a different light just by entering into this process without even understanding what it means.
Well, one of the things that we've been talking about is being able to individually heal things that have happened in our own lives that contribute to our higher purpose and what we came
mm-hmm.
here to learn.
Yeah.
But I understand from looking at some of your information that you also believe that there is a collective effect and a collective purpose to forgiveness.
Yeah.
And I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, the concept that I've come to use a lot recently, which I find sort of covers this whole thing, is what I call our spiritual intelligence. You know, we're very familiar with the idea that we have an intellectual or mental intelligence, and even an emotional intelligence that we've been working with over the last 5 or 6 years with Daniel Goleman's work and so on and so forth. But I think what we're coming to realize now is that we also have this other faculty of mind, which I call our spiritual intelligence, which you could say is your inner wisdom. You could say it's your guidance that you get from
mm-hmm.
universal intelligence. You could almost say that it's the divine spark within us. It doesn't matter what you want to call it, but there is that part of us that I feel is a collective phenomenon. So not only do I have access to spiritual intelligence, but you and Joanne and everybody else does too. So it's a sort of a collective phenomenon. And when
okay.
we tap into it, we start creating synchronicities. We begin to have thoughts at the same time as other people have thoughts, even though we may be separated, you know, by distance and so on and so forth. So so it takes it out of the realm of religion and puts it into more of a certain faculty that each of us has as a human being, but that it connects to our spiritual self too. It connects to our soul. So in that sense, when what I think is happening when we do radical forgiveness, whether we're doing it for ourselves on individuals or whether we're doing it to create world peace and forgiving countries or forgiving, you know, terrorists and so on and so forth, that we are in fact, generating energy within the universal field of infinite possibility, if you like,
right.
So that we're contributing at a macro level with our own spiritual intelligence. Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. And you made mention of your World Peace Project.
Yes.
And I would like to talk about that in just a moment, but I want to take a short break here
okay.
to let our listeners know who you are. And for those of you who have recently joined us, you're listening to Flying Higher on BBS Radio Late Night. And Flying Higher is usually hosted by Gina E. Jones, who founded Seeing the Light Productions, and who is also the author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth. I'm Karen Stone. I'm sitting in for Gina tonight. She'll be returning to the show next week. And our guests for tonight are Colin and Joanne Tipping, who began and have dramatically expanded the Radical Forgiveness Network. And if you have a question for Colin or Joanne, I'd like to give you the toll-free numbers to call in, and we'd love to hear from you. The number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227, and that toll-free number in Canada is 888-810-8322. And now, once again, Colin, welcome back to Flying Higher.
Thank you.
And I would love to hear more about the World Peace Project that you're involved with.
Well, yeah. You started out the program talking, I think you said something about 2012.
Right.
Way back when, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, I created a mission statement for myself, which was to raise the consciousness of the planet through radical forgiveness and to create a world of forgiveness by 2012. And when I wrote my second book, which you said, you know, was a novel, which it is, it's about a soul coming into its incarnation in order to actually help create heaven on earth, which is part of Gina's title. So we're all connected
right
here. Because that's the purpose of our incarnation here, ultimately, as the way I put it in this novel, that that each soul comes in to make a contribution to creating eventually what we will come to recognize as heaven on earth. But at the moment, we're anything but that. but all of that is purposeful in the sense that we are bringing ourselves to a healing crisis.
Right.
So that, you know, as we go through the healing crisis, we will emerge on the other side in peace and harmony and love. So that's the overall theme. But we can make a contribution to that, each one of us individually, given what I've just said about a collective spiritual intelligence, by doing, first of all, our own forgiveness work so that our energy, our vibration gets higher, so that we're making a vibrationally a better contribution to the overall consciousness of the planet. And then secondly, by recognizing that what is occurring out there in the world right now, while it looks to be awful, while it looks to be you know, very distressing and everything else, that it too, just like our own lives, is purposeful in bringing us to a place where we can emerge through the other side of what appears to be a bad situation and create heaven on earth. So healing America means forgiving, if we can use that term, or accepting it, which is actually a more accurate term, accepting the situation just as it is, in that it's meant to be this way, and everything is happening according to plan, and everything is occurring just as it should, so that we then hold a higher vibration. Instead of being dragged down by criticizing and being angry at terrorists or our own politicians, some of whom we are not happy with or whatever, if we can hold a more forgiving vibration, at least some of the time, then we're going to make a contribution to world peace.
Well, I noticed also that you had mentioned David Hawkins' work, and
yes,
about once you reach a certain vibrational level, that you balance negative levels to a certain extent by your own higher, more positive vibrational level.
Yes.
And that has his theories and actually his scientifically proved calibrations is something that has inspired or is a part of your work.
Well, actually, it more than inspired it, it validated it, because I didn't,
okay,
I didn't read that book until maybe 3 or 4 years ago, after I'd really, you know, gotten this work underway. And, you know, the essential ingredient of the worksheet is one's willingness to just be open to this possibility. And willingness crops up on my worksheet about 17 times. And when I looked at the, you know, when I read David's book, you know, The Power Versus Force, and looked at that that scale of consciousness, willingness comes way high. It
right
comes at around 350 on his scale of 0 to 100. And because it's a geometric scale, it's 350 is actually a very high vibration to hold. And so if we can hold that vibration at 350, we're making a huge contribution to the overall consciousness of the planet, because the majority of the population are way down the bottom under 200, or around 200 now. I think average at 207. So it was validation, and gave me, what it gave me was a reason why this worksheet was so successful, even though I had no idea why it was, because when I first created it, I had no idea that it would have this kind of impact on people's consciousness. I had no idea. And then
so
when
how,
I saw that it was.
So how can we as individuals keep ourselves, by using your various processes and tools, keep ourselves at a high enough level so that we can be a positive force?
Well, the trick is to use it is to use the technology regularly and
okay.
make it a sort of a daily, not a daily practice, but a regular practice.
Whenever you feel a charge on something, when you feel just a or see a reoccurring pattern, it's a great time to listen to the 13 steps or do a worksheet or something like that.
So in rush hour traffic, we should definitely have a number of these forms with us at all times, right?
Well, not a form, because you'd have to write, no, what we've what we've done there, we've made it easy for you. We've created a worksheet on a CD that is a series of questions that I ask. And they're similar questions to what on the worksheet, but all you have to do is answer yes to all of them. So
that's a good thing to listen to in the car. Road rage these days, you know?
Yeah. So that's the trick, is that whenever a little upset occurs, you just throw in the 13-step CD and say yes, yes, yes 13 times to the questions that I'm asking. And that seems to shift energy in a way that's quite extraordinary. We get emails very frequently from people who report that they got angry with something and they listened to the 13 steps. And not only did it make them feel better, but the situation itself got resolved almost immediately. Because being an energy shifting arrangement, if you change your energy, then the other people in the situation also, their energy shifts also, and so
right.
the situation tends to get resolved in ways that you couldn't explain in any other way.
So the bottom line of this is really not just shifting how you're thinking about something, but it's the energetic shift of your response to it
yes.
that you're looking to change?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the way I conceive of it is that all the stories that we've built up over the years of how we've been victimized in some way or another, or how we have victimized someone else and feel guilty about it, each one of those stories carries an energy. And you can make an impact on a story by doing it psychologically, but you're not going to make any much of an impact on the energy field that holds it. I prefer to go the other way around and collapse the energy field that holds the story in place so that the story itself then dies because it's
right.
not being fed by energy.
Well, does that also take away a lot of the impetus to spend a lot of time reworking the past over and over and over again? I know sometimes in some therapeutic modalities that a lot of time is spent in the past.
Yeah.
And rather than moving toward a compelling future. So does this go more along the lines of that?
Yeah, what we try to do there is, one of the big benefits of radical forgiveness, which we have discovered, is that because things that happened to us in the past have this energy field, the energy field tends to spawn repeats of the same thing.
Right.
So you get a pattern starts to form. You know, if you've been abandoned once, then it tends to repeat itself. So if you at any moment forgive any one of those incidences of abandonment, then all of those incidences get healed at the same time because you collapse the one energy field that's holding them all in place.
Okay.
So when something happens of a fairly insignificant nature, let's say tomorrow, somebody just kind of lets you down, doesn't come for a dinner date, shall we say, or a lunch date, and you get disproportionately upset about the fact that this person didn't come to your, let you down. Well, that's a really good indication that you've got an opportunity there to forgive people way back in your past that really let you down in a very serious way. Do you understand what I'm saying there?
Absolutely,
yes. So a small incident of abandonment represents all the abandonments you've ever had in your life, including some of the really big ones, one of which might, shall we say, have been that your mother gave you up for adoption. You know what I'm saying? But there's
right.
no reason for you to go back and forgive your mother, because just doing this one thing, this one worksheet, will collapse the energy field that's gone all the way back.
Very interesting. So
yeah.
It may handle more than one incident by just working with the incident that has presented itself in present time.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that would certainly seem like it would be a shortcut.
Yeah, it really is, and that's why we claim right from the start, really, that this is, in a way, therapy-free. You know, I maintain that you don't have to go digging up the past. Your present is always giving you opportunities to relook at something that's happened in the past, but it's doing it in a gentler way. So if you take advantage of that, then you've done your work.
Well, I'm a firm believer in, once you free yourself up, that then you can go for it and you can have it all.
Yeah.
And I was delighted to find out that you do have a radical empowerment kit that's available
yes.
on your website. And is this something that's relatively new?
It is. And what we have done there is that we've given people an opportunity to, like you just said, you know, having just healed the past and gotten your energy into present time, now what are you going to do with that energy? Well,
right.
the answer is to create the future that you want. So what this Radical Empowerment Program does, it combines radical forgiveness with radical manifestation, which is, you know, using the law of attraction to create what you want. But so it's a 12-month program that helps people practice the radical forgiveness work as well as practice manifesting the future. So you're combining bringing your energy in from the past and then projecting it into the future in a new way, instead of just projecting the past into the future, which is what we've done previously. So by the end of 12 months, the idea is that it will be so second nature to you to
right.
go straight to radical forgiveness. And then if you want anything, to go straight to manifestation and to be adept at both of those things by the end of 12 months. It's a case of developing a habit.
So it's giving you the opportunity over time to really instill a new behavior pattern.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, there was one thing that I loved as part of that was called the What is Stopping Me quiz. And I'm going to take a short break here, but when I come back, I'd like to find out a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Okay, for those of you that are joining us or have recently joined us, you are listening to Flying Higher on BBS Radio Late Night. And Flying Higher is a unique enlightening show hosted by Gina E. Jones. And each week, Gina and her guests share with listeners around the world ways to lighten up and raise their vibrations and their consciousness. I'm Karen Stone, and I'm sitting in for Gina tonight, who's taking a well-deserved night off. And our guests tonight are Colin and Joanne Tipping, and we are talking about radical forgiveness and radical manifestation and how these concepts and processes can positively impact our lives. If you have a question for Colin or Joanne, we would like to invite you to phone in, and I'm going to give you the toll-free numbers. In the U.S., the number is 877-876-5227. In Canada, that toll-free number is 888-810-8322. We'd love to hear from you, and we invite your calls. And Colin and Joanne, back to you, and I would love to find out a little bit more about the What is Stopping Me quiz. That's one of the things I ask myself pretty much on a daily basis. What is stopping me?
Well, without giving too much away, because there's an element of surprise in that quiz.
Aha,
okay. I wouldn't want to kind of, you know, preempt, but the basic idea is that we need to look at what it is that is that we think we want that actually we don't want at the subconscious level, and the things that we want that we think we want to let go of but actually we're holding on to. So it's kind of paradoxical in a way, but this is a quiz which will show you what it is that is actually blocking you that you think you want. Does that make sense? You think you want it, but subconsciously you really don't. So what this does is reveal that to you. And so I don't want to go into it any further because it will take the element of surprise out of it, because that's what really makes it work. But if people would like to go to that, that's Radical Empowerment. Yes, RadicalEmpowerment.com rather than the RadicalForgiveness.com website. They're two different websites.
Okay, and that one's on RadicalEmpowerment.com.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it will explain everything about the Radical Empowerment Kit once you've realized why you would need it. that's the reason for the quiz, you see. It kind of gives
uh-huh.
you a sense of, oh my God, if that's how my mind works, I sure do need this thing. So and then there's a video on there of me explaining everything about it. But okay.
Well, I didn't quite get all the way through the quiz because I was distracted by something else on the Radical
uh-huh.
Empowerment website.
Well,
because
go all
I
the way through,
love...
it'll surprise you.
Yes. And I thought you would give me the answer and I wouldn't have to do the work, but I'm finding out that that's not true. That's not true. Okay, there is something to be said about doing your own work here, right? But the thing that caught my eye is, and I know you've done this before, but you two take people on a cruise.
Yeah.
And what I thought was absolutely delightful is that in case people are having an issue or think they're having an issue about being able to afford the cruise, you have a program to help people manifest the money for the
yes.
cruise before the cruise.
Right, and we do the same thing for our workshops now, too.
Oh, you do?
We used to give scholarships or partial
okay.
scholarships, but now once we're into radical manifestation, we realize that we would be supporting people in a much more powerful way if we said, well, let's not bother about giving you scholarships. Let's show you how to manifest the exact amount of money that you need to come to the workshop, do the training, or do the cruise.
And what's really fun is that people come on board with these wonderful stories about how they created the money.
Yeah.
So that's kind of fun and exciting and inspiring to other people, too.
Yeah. And
well,
it's amazing.
Absolutely.
See, what we've managed to do, Karen, with Radical Manifestation is to repeat the same technology that we use for Radical Forgiveness with Radical Manifestation, which is what marks us out from a lot of other people out there in the world that are doing conscious creating work, you know, subsequent to the movie The Secret.
Right.
What we have done is taken the same sort of tools that we use for Radical Forgiveness and use them in Radical Manifestation. So instead of trying to change the subconscious mind, which is what everybody else is trying to do, we actually utilize our spiritual intelligence to go around the subconscious mind and create what we want out of our spiritual intelligence, not our mental intelligence. And that's different to everybody else's work that's out there.
So it's not focusing so much on creative thought as it is creative energy?
That's true, yes. I mean, we use
okay.
the subconscious mind to the extent that it helps us. But as soon as the subconscious mind starts putting up its resistance to change, which is what it normally does,
right.
then we switch it then to spiritual intelligence and just give it over to our spiritual side and say, okay, you do the work. Never mind about our subconscious mind kicking and screaming. Let it kick and scream. We don't care. Just give it to the spiritual part of us that knows what to do anyway and is tuned into the field of infinite possibility and knows exactly what we need.
Well, that's a very interesting approach because then the ego gets to continue to do its job
yeah.
without stopping you
exactly.
from actually being able to use your higher spiritual aspects to manifest what you want.
That's a good way of putting it. I hadn't thought of that. It makes the ego feel important but actually takes away all its power.
Well, now you just told it, so now we have to come up with something else, Colin. Now it knows.
Oops.
Oops. Oh, well. Back to the drawing board. No. Well, another thing that I also like about your programs is that not only are you working with people that, you know, at the individual level and then at the collective global level, but you've also adopted your processes for use with organizations.
That's correct.
And having spent a lot of time in corporate America myself, you know, I was very intrigued by your concept of using spiritual intelligence at work.
Right.
And I'd love if you could give us a little bit more on that.
Yes. Well, see, the basic idea of radical forgiveness is that we use relationships as a way of bringing us to a place of healing around particular issues that we've been holding on to. So the stories that we have in our subconscious mind that may date back to childhood, when we're ready to do the healing work, and that's a big question mark, is when we're ready, then what we then do is to attract people into our life who will mirror that particular issue for us so we can then work on it and heal it. And we use the forgiveness worksheets as a way to do that. So that's the idea of radical forgiveness. Now, any relationship will do. We use our romantic relationships for certain issues, but then when we go to work, we've got some wonderful people there to play these dramas out with. And so if we've got issues with our father or with our mother, we're going to find a supervisor or a manager to play the drama out with that manager or supervisor, which is fine for the individual because that's their healing journey, but it's very bad for the corporation.
Right.
It's very bad for everybody else in the corporation because in playing out my mama drama with my supervisor, I may be sabotaging a whole load of things within the company just to go through the drama that I need to go through for my own healing. So rather than play this drama out fully as we would normally because we're unconscious about what's happening, I'm raising the consciousness of the people within the organization so they recognize when something is coming up and they say, ooh, okay, this is something I might need to deal with. Where's that worksheet? Now, instead of calling it radical forgiveness, I call it balancing humanity.
Right.
It's a different language, you see.
Exactly.
But it's all the same stuff, and I have CDs with the 13 steps to balancing humanity on that and a 7-step process. So it's actually giving everybody in the corporation, particularly the upper management, a set of tools to keep the energy field of the corporation clear. Because the health of a corporation depends on its overall energy field, and its energy field is composed of all the energy fields of each individual within the corporation. So it's going to help their productivity, it's going to help their bottom line if they encourage each individual to keep their own energy field clear of things like resentment and blame and bitterness and jealousy and all the other things that go on in corporations that tend to lower the vibration and affect the productivity of the corporation at the same time. So that's the basic idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes so much sense because no matter what system you find yourself in, your stuff will come up.
Absolutely.
And as you said, you know, some people get part of their questions come, you know, boldly into their faces because of relationships, and most of us spend tons of time in our relationships with people at work.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and it brings up all sorts of things like authority issues and what was the other thing I was just thinking of in my mind there? Passive-aggressive behavior, you know, all those things are going to come up because unlike in a marriage, for instance, where there's more equality, but but where you're in a work situation, you may have somebody over you that's an authoritarian father-like figure, and you can't resist that in an overt way, just as you couldn't when you were a kid.
Right.
And so it's playing that same dynamic out again. So what do? You do what you did was when you were a kid. You act out something is in a passive-aggressive way to get back at your father, and that's really unhealthy for everybody concerned.
Well, it would certainly shut down creative energy that could be used
absolutely.
In a corporate environment, because if you're in fear or if you're in struggle like that, it's hard to be
and
creative.
It happens between departments, not only individuals. You might get a very creative, let's say the advertising department is a very creative department, and then it's balanced out by the accounting department, which is very conservative and numbers oriented, and those two departments can act out all sorts of different dynamics that
so instead of sibling rivalry, you have department rivalry.
Exactly.
Oh my!
It has the potential to make a huge difference to a corporation. We've got a couple of pilots going in already in two firms, and we're hoping to expand that quite a lot in the next few months.
Well, I think that sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
You know, would love to hear more about that as your results show up.
Yeah.
And I know that in order to put your work out in, you know, the best way that you can to serve the most people that you can, you've put together a network and that you have some trainers and coaches and you have them in different cities
yes.
to be able to serve different areas.
That's
and you offer trainings, is it, for people who would like to be a part of
yes, we have,
what you're doing?
Various levels of training. People who are already psychotherapists or hypnotherapists or ministers or life coaches can take a sort of a conversion course, if you like, to become a radical forgiveness coach. That's one level. The radical empowerment program that we talked about earlier on, that one-year program, we're going to be training people to become group discussion leaders. It's like a book study group, but using the
right.
the more extensive program as a discussion group with videos and all that kind of stuff with it. We're training people to become radical manifestation coaches and workshop leaders. So there's quite a number of different opportunities for people to get involved without a huge, you know, without a huge investment or without needing extensive qualifications from past.
Well, you're not just in the U.S.
as well. Sorry?
Right. You're not. You also are in what other countries?
We're in Germany. We're in Poland. We're in Holland. We're in Australia. We're in Russia and Ukraine. We've actually got organizations set up for training coaches and workshop leaders in Germany and Poland and Australia. So it's spreading there quite a bit.
Well, that's quite amazing what can happen with a little bit of passion and a little bit of higher vision, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I did want to find out a little bit more what drives each of you. I know that it takes a lot of determination and focus to be able to create what the two of you have created.
Yeah.
And I want to kind of find out what drives each of you.
Well,
okay.
You want to go first, Joanne?
I guess so. I'm kind of a big picture, holding the big picture sort of person, and I hold the space for what Colin does, and it's hard to explain exactly how that happens or what it looks like, but it's just something that I do automatically, and it seems to support the whole vision.
When we first met, Karen, you know, it was the fact that we both had the same idea of what our life's purpose was about that really attracted us, I think, in the first place. The idea that we could actually be married and work together and have the same idea of what juice us, although Joanne is an artist in her own right, you have to say that. But I would say that what juices me is that I love to teach and I love to write, so it's a good combination for me. What it is about forgiveness, I'm not really quite sure why that came into my life as my life's purpose, but it seems to be what it's about. And I can tell you that when Joanne is not at the workshop, and sometimes I have to do the workshop on my own, even though I'm at the front of the room and she's not, when she's not, people notice it. If they've had the opportunity to work with us both, with her holding the space and supporting everything, they notice the difference. And then I've had people say to me, "Don't you dare come here again without Joanne." So we are a team, and it works really well. And we're both in alignment. But you know, Joanne still has her own things that she does in the woman's work and the artist. So.
Well, it's wonderful when you get an opportunity to meet a team that happens to be able to do that in work and in life and in what your chosen purpose is and how you're manifesting that.
Yeah.
And I think that is a...
It really helps when we've got couples in the workshop, because you know, we show up as certainly less than perfect.
Absolutely. We're very real
in the workshops, and so it helps people to know that, you know, that we use this technology too when we have to forgive each other for silly things that occur. And so, you know, we're always being as authentic as we can in the workshops and not holding ourselves out to be anybody special, and that we're just human beings too, like everybody else. And that seems to be one of the things that helps people more than anything, is just showing up as who we are.
Well, I know that having been, you know, had the opportunity to be around both of you on many occasions, you know, there is that feeling of you are who you are. And another thing that I really like is that both of you have fun doing what you're doing.
We sure do.
And that is just, not only is it a mission and a purpose and all that, but it's also a joy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love the fact that that you created a game about this whole process, too. I thought was, and it's a great game. I've had the opportunity to play it also.
Yeah.
And it's called Satori?
That's right. And Satori is a word that means enlightenment or awakening. And it's a board game for between 2 and 5 players, although it seems to work best with 3 or 4. And it's a game that takes you through those same 5 processes that I talked about earlier on, but they take you in a way that's a little bit more creative and fun than you would normally expect out of a workshop. But it really is a mini workshop in a way, in that the game literally does play you. And it teaches you amazing things about yourself as you go around the board, and you work with an issue or you know, something. You get some cards that tells you what it is you're playing, what the story is that you're playing with. But 9 times out of 10, it's your real story, and it all comes together in a way that's just amazing. So it's fun. People love playing it. But it's also very revealing, and it's the forgiveness process in another form. And incidentally, Karen, as somebody who had worked with David Hawkins,
right,
on that calibration thing, they calibrated it at somewhere around 640.
The game?
The game.
Well, I'm going to get my copy out and at least put it under my pillow so I can get it by osmosis. How's that? Or I can just play it by myself around in circles.
Yeah, people do.
Play it by yourself. If you have a question or you're going through something, the game will take you through the process of starting off in victim land and then seeing the gift in it by the time you get to Satori, center.
Yeah.
So we have a few minutes left, and I wanted to talk for just a moment or a few minutes. You know, 2012 is so much closer around the corner than we can imagine.
Yeah.
And if I were sitting in front of you and you were to say to me what I could do to be the most present and in the best space as the energy changes and speeds up as we get closer and closer, what kind of advice would you give me?
Well, you know, as in all of these situations that we find ourselves in as human beings, that there are two things really that we have to do simultaneously. One is to be present to it as a human being and be present to all the feelings that come up as a result of it. You know, as we go into this global warming phase, and clearly, you know, we're right in it now. We're not talking about the future.
Especially
or even
with 200-mile-an-hour tornadoes.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're not talking about 2012. We're talking about the shift happening now. And so as human beings, we're going to go through fear, and we're going to go through anger. We're going to go through all sorts of things as part of that experience. But the other thing that we have to do, in my opinion, is to hold the vibration of it being everything that's needing to happen is happening. This is like a boil on the body, you know, which is a healing crisis, really, for an infection that's coming to the surface.
Right.
It's getting ready to burst. And that's what's going to happen, I think, at 2012. It's like the boil is going to burst or the abscess is going to burst. Interesting, I just had one. and that we're going to come out of it the other side. But it does demand that we make that choice, though. I think we are, the human race is at a point of choice, and that when things reach a certain point, that we're going to be faced with, either we hold this as being perfect and move through with as much grace as we possibly can in this situation that we're faced with, or we can make the choice to be angry, resentful, resistant, fearful, and if we make that choice, I think we'll go down.
So
and that
sitting
would be
here,
perfect too.
And that would be perfect too.
Yeah, and that will be just whatever, you know, that's what we will have chosen for our experience.
So the vision is really to see us coming out on the other side with as elegant of a transition as we can.
Yeah, and we do that each individual. Each one of us has to do that individually and bring as much grace into our life as we can now. At every moment of our waking life, to be in the state of radical forgiveness and acceptance of what is, the way it is. At the same time, being present to our feelings. That's as much as we can do. And also, take whatever other steps is necessary to contribute to, you know. To trying to stop the global warming and doing everything else that we would do as a sensible human being, seeing that we're in a terrible crisis here, and that we're close to coming to a place of total annihilation if we don't change. I know I hate to finish on that, but you did ask.
But I did ask, and I know, because it's something I think that you know, we're all, you know, those of us that. Have that kind of information are curious about, and you know, one of the things that I ask as an individual all the time is, what can I do and what can I focus on?
Yeah, keeping my vibration high.
One of the ways I find in keeping my vibration high is an attitude of gratitude, to be grateful for, you know, the simple things in life, the things that we do have. You know, a roof over our head. I mean, with the people out that have just experienced that tornado. I mean, I heard the man say, well, you know, I created all these things in my house, and now my house is gone, but I'm here to tell the story, and I'm grateful for that. And I think gratitude is a real important thing to be in.
Well, I would most certainly agree with you, and I can say to both of you as we come up near the end of the show that I am very, very grateful to have had this special time with you. And I know that we're very happy that you've been our guest for tonight, and you've given us a ton of information and lots of wonderful things to think about. And I also wanted to just send my gratitude to both of you for the good stuff you put out to individuals and in the world. And I want to thank you for being here, and I wish you tons and tons of continued success.
Well, thanks, Karen.
You too, Karen, and many blessings.
Well, many blessings to you too. Yeah. And I just wanted to tell our listeners that, Colin, if you would give your websites or the best ways to get in touch with you so that they know how to do that.
Okay. Well, the primary one is radicalforgiveness.com, which is pretty easy to remember, but we do have the two others, radicalmanifestation.com. and radicalempowerment.com. So any one of those three, if you will, link to the other ones anyway. That's the basic website, and then that's the best way to get hold of us, actually, through the website.
Okay. Well, that's great, and we appreciate that information. Once again, thank you, too, for being with us tonight. And I wanted to take a moment to just let you know that you've been listening to Flying Higher on BBS Radio Late Night. And Gina Jones, the founder of Seeing the Light Productions and the author of Flying Between Heaven and Earth, will return next week. And we are delighted that you've been with us tonight. Also, next week, Gina will have on the show Robert Schwartz. He is the author of Courageous Souls, and they will be discussing a topic called Do We Really Plan Our Life Challenges Before Birth? Mr. Schwartz has written a book that contains conversations that people had before they were born with loved ones with whom they planned to have their life's journeys with. And this information came through mediums and had very strong impact on these people's lives once they became aware of it. So please tune in next week when Gina will be interviewing Dr. Robert Schwartz. That's May 13th, and the name of his book is Courageous Souls. Once again, we thank you for listening to Flying Higher. And for more information about Gina E. Jones and to order her spiritually thought-provoking and inspiring book, Flying Between Heaven and Earth, please go to www.flyingbetweenheavenandearth.com. Her book is also available through Amazon. This is Karen Stone. I've been your guest host for tonight. Gina Jones will be returning to the show next week. And as Gina would say, since time waits for no one, let's all start flying higher today. Thank you for listening. Once again, thanks to Colin and Joanne Tipping. And everyone, have a good evening.
You have been listening to Flying Higher with Gina Jones, heard every Sunday night here on BBS Radio Late Night. Gina's latest book, Flying Between Heaven and Earth, is now available at Amazon.com. Join us next Sunday at 7:30 Pacific for another enlightening discussion on Flying Higher.